Hi, everyone. This is Rico and Tony. We're the Altieri Brothers, and welcome to the Art of Hair podcast. For the last four decades, we have been hair industry leaders as salon owners, celebrity hairstylists, platform artists, educators, and mentors in the awesome world of professional beauty.
Our mission is to inspire and motivate you to become the best hairdresser, the best artist, and the best person that you can be. It's time to reach for the stars. Let ourselves dream and then turn those dreams into reality.
This is your time right now. So
let's do this.
So today we have a legendary hairdresser here within our midst. He was one of the first hairdressers that we thought to call for our new podcast. Tony and I have been following this man for years. He has never really met us formally, but we know who he is. Let's put it that way. And, we always kept track of him because he's a legend, especially where we come from in Southern California. He's had some of the most amazing salons there throughout the years and, know a lot of hairdressers that have worked for him, under him. And so, you know, his like reputation precedes him. He started in the 70s. He's done many Stars hair. He's famous for doing Farrah's hair. And then, you know, that created probably the biggest trend that has never really died since then. And we're still doing versions of it. And I want him to talk about that. And he's had developed salons, salon training programs. He's done platform work for some of the best companies. He's got his own product line. His wife and him are partners. She's a beautiful lady. I've seen her and she's gorgeous and she's very chic looking and hip and I'm sure they're a dynamic duo. So I want to welcome to the show, Alan Edwards. How are you, Alan?
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks it's an for honor doing this. We appreciate it.
I'm just stoked. I got some fantastic things written down here that I want to talk to you about. Waited 40 years to do that. You know, we're seven.
Well, you just shoot them at me and I'm a jabbermouth. So
that's okay. Why so am I? And, you know, all three of us pretty much are in the same glitch of things. And I know we talked about a certain story about you and your salons in Los Angeles, about me visiting them. And, you know, let me ask you a question, Alan. This is extremely important for all of our listeners. And everybody wants to hear the story. I'm sure you've got a huge story. In your early life, even before your career, okay, tell me what that was like. That's extremely important to me, my brother Ricardo, and the people listening to us.
Well, in my early days, when I was, let's go back to high school, when I was a boy, I used to stutter. I had a very bad stutter all through school, really bad. I mean, sometimes I couldn't even say my name, which is pretty wild. So, yeah. But I was good at stuff. I was good at sports and I played trumpet for 9 years. I was first trumpet All through grammar school, junior high and high school. So I realized to overcompensate the stuttering, I had to be really good at what I did. And so my goal was, no matter what I did, is to be, I don't know if I could say the best, but to be as good as I possibly can. Awesome. And that type of thinking. And my father, we were very lower middle class, lived in Hollywood in a 1,000-square-foot house with my brother and sister, you know, in a tough neighborhood. And, you know, it was like a survival life, you know. So, but the stuttering was the killer for me. So I overcame the stuttering by becoming more and more confident. And when I got out of high school, the stuttering sort of disappeared. I remember, let's go back more. So, and I played trumpet. And that's what I was going to do, was be in a band and play trumpet. So I got out of school and I realized I'm not going to make a living doing that. It was just too hard. And I also was a dancer. We danced at nightclubs and we ran a nightclub. I was 17. These three crazy guys and I ran a nightclub on Hollywood, on Vine Street Boulevard, called the New Club. And I met a guy there called Norm. And Norm said to me, "Why don't you go to beauty school?" And I went, "Okay." And I went to beauty school. And I really loved doing what I did. And it came very easy to me. And I had to be the best in beauty school, and the fastest, and try to make the most money. And, you know, even in those early days, I was always super competitive. And then I went to work in Beverly Hills and worked for a small salon on Beverly Drive and Olympic called Flamenco. I was thinking of going to work for Jean Chicot at that period, who was the number one hairdresser. But I sort of probably a little intimidated then, right out of beauty school. And I was going to work for another guy named Neil Sloan, who offered me a job, who was number two in Beverly Hills. But this girl wanted me to take over her clientele. I don't want to labor on that. And then Peter Weiser bought the salon. And Putervisor was a very big Beverly Hills fish, did very wealthy people. The limousines were pulling up, took the salon and did it. And what he did is taught me how to not tease hair anymore. So we were teasing hair, setting hair, putting them in the dryer, doing all that. And I developed a very big clientele there, but I didn't want to do that anymore. And Peter came in and he was back brushing softer, shorter hair. So I copied him right away. I started doing his work right away. And then my father ran into a man named John Peters. And then John opened up his salon in Encino with another fellow named Paul Cantor. And I walked away from the full Beverly Hills salon and went to Encino. When I met John, I knew he was the guy. He was going to be the big guy. And I wanted to hook it and learn everything I can from him. And which I did, is I became the ultimate copycat. So whoever was the best, I wanted to copy them and become better and be really good at what I did. And kind of doing it and doing it. And then eventually John and Paul wanted to open a salon with me in Woodland Hills. And I went to John and I said, look, I'll do it with you, but my name is going on the front of the salon. It's going to be John Peters, owner Alan Edwards. And somehow, I don't know if you know John Peters, but he's that easy to deal with. And he went for it, you know, and he did it. And then a year after that, I bought him out. And that's when John met Barbara Streisand. And he didn't really want to do hair anymore. He wanted to produce. So Paul, my other partner, called me, goes, I want you to buy John out. They went, okay, fine. And then
that's an incredible story.
Yeah, it's a great story. Then I walked into Rodeo Drive on Rodeo and Brighton, where Chanel is, and we had a 4,000 square foot salon there. And I just took his place. He had a lot of people that he trained there that hated me, and I ended up firing them all. You know, they were just this arrogant little group of guys. And I took him outside once. I went, you, you're fired. Get out. You know,
really?
You're on my team or you're not. You know, and I learned a lot. I learned how to be a little bit notorious from John and a little bit of a hard-ass boss. And it was all about doing great hair and teaching. And the salon got a reputation for just doing great hair. And it grew and grew and grew. Our lease came up and the landlord raised us from $5,000 a month to $10,000 a month. And this is back in the 70s, because Rodeo was starting to take off, right? So Vidal Sassoon took over Jean Chicot's old salon on Rodeo upstairs near Santa Monica. So Sassoon moved across the street from me. And then the landlord from that salon called me and said, Alan, I want to put you in Vidal's salon, and the rent will be like $6,000. So I moved up to Sassoon's salon. So that space had Jean Chicot, Vidal Sassoon, and Alan Edwards salons. That one space had.
You know what, Alan? I never knew any of this stuff, and I'm a pretty big historian on the business. That's really cool. As a matter of fact, I've been in that Sassoon salon myself many times trying to get jobs. That's an awesome story. And I just want to, for our listeners, I want you, John Peters, he was a great hairdresser and legendary hairdresser, as you were saying, but he was also, he became a really popular producer, didn't he?
Well, John's an interesting guy. John's a badass. Wherever we went, we got in a fight with somebody. I mean, I'm talking physical. You know, John had that reputation as a producer of being a crazy man. But I, you know, he was my mentor. I mean, I loved him. You know what I mean? I mean, we got into it, him and I, and I wasn't afraid of him. I mean, I'm not physically was ever going to beat him up. But, you know, we used to bump heads a lot. And he kind of respected that. And he would play games with me. He'd come to my house one time. This is a funny story. Like 6 a.m. and I'm taking a shower. And he opened the shower door up and screamed as loud as he could. I mean, how ridiculous is that, right? And I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I mean, I'm absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
And he thought that was cute and funny. So one day he was at the shop. He was outside and we had a water fountain outside and he had his head down drinking out of the water fountain. I came behind him and I screamed and he smashed his teeth into the water fountain and blood came like flowing out of his mouth. And he's chasing me around the shop, right around the building, trying to beat me up. You know, it's like, you know, it was great.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
You know, and he did
movies like Eyes of Laura Mars. What else did he do? Do you remember?
Well, he did the most famous one was Star is Born with Barbara Streisand.
That's right, Star is Born with Streisand.
And he was producer of the new star, the new one. But John was a great hairdresser and cut great short hair and had a great eye. Yeah. And I just sucked everything he did right out of him and, you know, copied it and added my twist to it. And, you know, the early days of hairdressing were so fantastic because it was all about learning. When you're surrounded by amazing hairdressers like Jerry Cosenza, you know who she is, right?
Sure.
The story with Cassandra is this is the biggest lie in the beauty industry. I'm quoting.
Yeah.
This is the biggest lie.
Yeah.
Jerry comes to us, me and Paul, and goes, we started a new company called Sebastian. Then we we need hairdressers to work for Sebastian and to be trained by Sebastian.
Okay.
What does that mean? Well, she said, we no desire ever to open a salon, ever. But we will train your hairdressers for free. And then we just need people to work for Sebastian. And then we'll educate all the people. I wasn't overly involved with Encino. Paul was more than the Encino guy. So he said, okay. So a year or so later, goes, I'm driving down Ventura Boulevard and I see this great looking building, right? Well, it turned out to be Cassandra's. And Jerry took 27 people from us.
All right.
So wow. She totally all at once? Lied, just lied, blatantly lied to us.
27 people all at once?
Yeah, all at once out of Encino.
It's called
she emptied a 4,000 square foot salon. And Paul and I were sitting there going, okay, here we go.
Hey, those were the days back when there was Concept Salon. Something like that's never going to happen nowadays.
No, you're not going to see big percentage. You know, the industry's changed. So we were able to build back Encino in a year because of all the television that I did. Because I was on, you know, Regis like every other week, practically. And
You
know, when I did Regis shows, it would bring in 200-300 people at a time. So I had a full education program going with like, you know, 50 assistants. So I was able to put them on the floor and then build them because of the TV.
We're going to get into your system in a little while. I know that Tony wants to talk to you about long hair. If you've ever seen Tony do hair, he's amazing long hair cutter. And he wants to talk to you about something.
Let's talk about this. This is what I want to talk about. God, how do I say it? You know, my we've got a younger brother as well, as a couple years younger than me. But when we were kids, he had that iconic poster nailed up in his bedroom of Farrah. Okay. And I mean, she was probably one of the sexiest women ever alive. And let's talk about that iconic layered haircut that you did back then, because I know that you were using techniques back then that you still use now, maybe with some over direction and whatever, so on and so forth. But I know that, you know, obviously it's come a long way since that poster, but talk to the people out there about when you were doing that particular haircut on Farrah Fawcett.
Well, when Farrah walked in, I see Farrah on TV and I would go, God, I want to do her hair. I'd like to do her hair. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden I turn around and she's sitting in my salon waiting for me. You know? And, but we were, you know, I was doing 20 people a day, arrogant and, you know, doing shows and it's a crazy time. And, so she sat in the chair and I said to her, your hair's too long. It needs to be layered. The blonde's wrong. We need to highlight it. It's got, you know, and I just kept going on and on. And, you know, it was really early days. So she was very vulnerable then. So she would listen. It wasn't like when they become famous, now they start telling you what to do. You know that.
Yeah.
So she just let me do what I want. So I started, the way I lay her hair is basically everything goes forward. Sure. So I just cut a crown around the face, like a circle around the face. And if you just do that, that hair will go back. Right.
Yeah.
So if everything's cut forward, then I wasn't really into vertical, horizontal. It was more radial, round cutting, cutting around the head, cutting to where it falls, I want to see it. My method is a very visual method.
Yeah.
It's like,
You're also precise. I've seen a lot of precision that you do.
Yeah, but I do it right. I also do a lot.
You do it with a lot of feel, though. And like you said, going back to Sassoon, it's almost like, because I'm kind of an old Sassoon-y type of dude myself. Once I got that training, then I just broke out of the mold. I said, now I have all these rules. Now I'm going to break every one of them.
Right, because it has to be from your, you know.
Instinct.
Yeah, it has to be from the art side, from the feel of it. It's like, I have a saying, see it, feel it, cut it. So you see it visually in your mind, you feel the hair, you get a texture, and then you cut it into what you want it to do.
Exactly. It's almost rhythmic, isn't it?
Yeah, well, music is a very big part of my life, so very important what music I'm on stage with. And I'll tell you a funny story with us is that you don't know, I don't think. But the energy to the music gives me the creative movement. You know, it's like when I'm cutting hair and I'm moving that hair around, and I cut hair with tapering scissors. I cut full haircuts with tapering scissors, which virtually nobody does. You know, they'll go in, they'll cut it blunt, and then they'll chip it out. Mm-hmm. So they're doing two haircuts where I do it all at once. I could cut a geometric blunt bob with tapering scissors. And I've taught, you know, a few hundred, like showed it to thousands of people, but in the salons, we've had, you know, hundreds of hairdressers. And some of them have picked it up and some of them really haven't. But the ones who've gotten it were turned out to be some of the better, more creative hairdressers.
Hey guys, this is Ricardo. I just wanted to get in here for a second and tell you about a product line that Tony and I have developed just for you. It's a line for professional hair artists that are looking for every advantage to take their work to the next level. The line is called The Art of Hair, and it is a line of professional hair care products to use in the salon behind the chair that will help you create the best results you have ever seen. The way these products perform is truly incredible. It's all due to a very few things. First is our refusal to put our name on anything that is not the best in the industry. And next, we use the highest quality ingredients that's containing a botanical blend of antioxidants that will strengthen and hydrate while creating the healthiest hair on earth. The Art of Hair products are the most innovative, cutting-edge performance-driven products to hit the market ever. Let's take your salon game to the next level. Go to altieri.com. Your clients will love you.
You know, Alan, what it's called, when you're talking about the music and you're talking about, it's called being in the zone.
You got it.
And when you're in the zone, you're untouchable.
Yeah.
And that untouchable zone comes around with, it only gets in to a certain amount of people, because Ricardo and I have taught millions of hairdressers worldwide, over 4,000 presentations with that company that we work for, Matrix. And we have the opportunity to meet so many hairdressers. But I'll take a hairdresser and give them the same exact energy from my heart and soul into teaching them the first day at a beauty school than someone that's been in the business for 50 years. And the zone is where we all want to go to. And, you know, you've been in the zone for 50 years. Rico's been in the zone for 50 years. I've been in the zone for 40-something years. Talk to the people out there. Talk to our listeners about what it's like to be in that mindset of the zone.
Well, when I'm listening to the music and I'm cutting a haircut and it's connecting, it's almost sexually orgasmic.
Ow-hoo, baby. Talk to me.
It's almost like that. It's like you're almost out of your body experience. Yeah. And that's what happens to me when I cut hair. When I'm cutting on the stage, when that music is going and I'm cutting and I'm feeling it, it's moving and it's just, there's very few hairdressers will ever feel that. And where we connect, where you don't know, is that, I don't know, if we did rock and roll hair shows. See, when I first did a show, KMS came to me and wanted me to do a show bringing out KMS. And I said, I'm going to do a show, but it's not going to be like a normal show. I'm going to be Rod fucking Stewart on the stage.
That's right.
I'm going to blow the minds of the audience, and this is how I'm going to do it. So, yeah. And they were like, you just do whatever you want. So I created a 2.5-hour show for 5,000 people, and it was called Follow the Yellow Brick Road to Your Future. So I connected to The Wizard of Oz. So I hired 10 dancers. I had 20-some models. I had me cutting hair, and then I had 10 hairdressers on stage. So it would open up to, and you're going to love this, We Will Rock You.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Of course.
You guys did it, right?
Of course.
Yeah, we did. We did that as well.
I know. But because I'm older, I probably did it first.
We think you did.
When I was standing backstage waiting to go on stage, and that song would go on, the hair in my arms would stand up.
Yeah.
And even talking about it today.
You got the chills.
I get the chills. And I'm standing back there and I'm hearing, bam, 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 we will rock you. Bam, bam, we will rock you. And that audience is just like,
what the fuck, right? The crazy thing is I don't care how many presentations we do, but I'm still back there. I got my scissors and my comb in my hand and my hands are shaking.
Right.
Not being nervous. It's being excited. You know, you're nervous, but your adrenaline is rolling and it's just going full speed. And people don't understand what's going inside of our skin when we're doing things like that, because we're giving the hairdressers our heart and soul.
Yeah.
You know, Alan, it comes down to this. I think that we did hair shows very similar to yours. They were very highly produced dancers, a lot of action, a lot of crazy hair cutting, hair flying. But, you know, I think our motto was probably similar to your motto. And the motto was, you know, at the time you had the very skinny hairdressers from England cutting hair, very, very quiet, you know, doing some very demure techniques, and everybody was passing out in the audience. They're going to sleep. We thought, we want to teach. We want to share what we do. That's our main goal. But you can't unless you have their attention.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. You know, it's like, you can't teach 5,000 people how to cut a vertical line. You know what I mean? It's like, but what I can do is turn you on.
That's right.
Exactly.
What I can do is get you girls want to throw your panties on the stage.
Get you horny, baby. Get you horny.
Right, exactly. Because I want to get you, I want you to look at me like I'm Mick Jagger on stage.
That's right. Yeah.
Or hairdressers will look at that and they go, wow, I want to do that.
Right.
I want to do that. That is exciting, man. That's not what I do every day. That's exciting. That's taking it to a whole nother level. And it turns them on. It makes them want to be better.
Well, it worked for us. I worked for them. And then Clairol hired me. And then I did shows all over the country for Clairol. And we did it for 5,000 people, no less than 1,000 people. You know, people do shows today. Well, I'm having a class. I have 50 people come in and go, that's my model call.
that's the backstage. Oh, my God. You're right. You're right.
You're totally right. And I'm so glad you hit upon that. And I'm telling you, if our listeners out there aren't getting the chills right now, then just turn the podcast off. That's all you got to do. How's that? Okay.
You know, the exciting part, and I know you guys have experienced because I know how good you guys are, is when you're finished with the show and 5,000 people stand up and give you an applause.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing like it.
Don't dare go downstairs to the hotel lobby bar.
You know, then you go down to the bar afterwards. I remember two girls calling me. It was like,
you want to come up to your hotel room by yourself.
No.
You know what, Alan? It's a great high and it's a great reward because a lot of people think that being in hair shows and being educators, as you and we were or are still, is glamorous, but it's not glamorous, is it? You got to get on that plane. You got the red eye flights. It's like you're going all over the place. You're burnt to a frazzle. You can't believe you're in another hotel, right?
Let me ask you a question, personal question. How old are you right now?
I'm going to be 76.
You're fucking amazing looking, dude. You are a handsome dude.
You
are amazing. I can tell by just looking at you. And you still do hair behind the chair.
Fit.
Oh, I worked 7 days last week.
I was just going to ask. I know. Is your salon open right now?
Well,
sort of. Okay. Shh. We've got a draped office.
You know,
I cut this
beautiful Russian woman yesterday. Really beautiful. Russian women are amazing looking. Blonde hair, super short, long, sweepy front. That's one of my favorite looks, right? And I finished her and I went, you know what? You made my whole week. Because I finished my whole week on my favorite haircut, and you appreciate it, and you're beautiful in it.
And that's what it's well.
To me, it's just about being good, being good every day, every single client, no matter how old or young. I mean, I have clients in their 80s and 90s now because I started with them 50 years ago, and they still were short, cool, hip haircuts.
Isn't it great making people feel good?
Yeah, but the thing I enjoyed about my career, I think people should listen to, is that it's about being good at everything.
Alan, a hairdresser nowadays has to go to a salon and become an apprentice in a salon like yours or ours where they can study under a master. And you have a system in your salon.
Well,
I want you to talk about how you train your hairdressers.
Okay, so our system was, we were always a commission salon. I was never a rental salon, always anti-rental. And they would have to come in and assist for a year. And they have a class every Wednesday night. And at the end of the month, they would have a test, full test, how to blow hair, cut hair, how to do short hair, bobs, long hair, how to lay your hair, how to use tapering scissor, how to use a straight scissor, and how to use a razor. Right. So they had to be all that rounded. So they had assisted minimum of a year. And then I would choose in the salon. And then in Newport was my partners, Laurel, Chirico, and Frank. Laurel would choose. When Claudio Lazo and I were partners, he would pick an assistant. So we would pick, after a year, the best assistant, and they stay with us for 6 months to another year. And as they build and they're working for me, then I would put them on the floor like on Sundays and Mondays and let them build. So by the time they got on the floor, they were hitting $1,000 a week, and that's how they built. And that's what we did it for. What we had Beverly Hills, Woodland Hills, Encino, Newport, Long Beach, Irvine. We built all those salons, and they were minimum of 4,000 square feet each. So we had almost 400 employees.
They were mega, mega salons. And probably the top salons in the city.
Yeah, I would think at that period.
I know now that you've actually taken one of your assistants and made her a partner of yours.
Yeah, so it was interesting. So being a hairdresser for so long, you're going to go through your ups and you're going to go through your downs. You're going to have your walkouts and you're going to have to rebuild. A lot of owners that I've known, has like a friend of mine in New York, was doing $200,000-$300,000 a year from his salon, not from behind the chair, but from his salon, which is amazing, actually.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'm going to quit doing hair and just run the shop. I said, that's a mistake, because someday you're going to have a walkout and it happened to him. So very important that you stay strong behind the chair. But the hard things that happened, the recession hit in 08. Paul and I split up with 25-year partnership, and that was very bad. And then we ended up splitting. He got Encino, and I got the City Salons, and I got the Woodland Hills Salon, but he kept the name on Encino Salon. That's a whole other show, a whole other story.
Right.
So you got to go through these emotional lawsuits, dealing with all that. You know, when Paul and I split up, I had to close the Beverly Hills Salon. And then Luke and Rona opened up Lucara Salon and took 10 people from me during the split up. So the best part of this story is my wife and I, Lisa took Paul's place and ran the business end of it. She ran the office and everything. And so we met with a bankruptcy lawyer because I didn't quite know what to do. Then they raised my rent to $16,000 a month. And I had a okay, what do we do? So that same day, I met with the bankruptcy lawyer, went to Encino, met with a group opening up a new shopping center, convinced him to give me $300,000 to open a salon in Encino, Studio City. On the same day, I was talking to a bankruptcy lawyer about Beverly Hills. Then I met and then got $300,000 from a builder in Studio City and built the Studio City Salon on Laurel Canyon.
Yeah. So, you know what it is, Alan? You're sharing these stories. And I know that, you know, this podcast is going to be for professional hairdressers, a place to come and learn from the stories of legendary people. And one of the things that you're talking about right now is you're talking about the high stakes. This is high stakes hair. And, you know, I think that's exciting for some hairdressers because they might never get a chance to do something like this. So it's interesting, you know. So these stories are awesome because it's not just about your success. It's about your failures and how you come back from them. And everybody who's ever been successful has had complete setbacks that they have to get through. There's not one person. Success comes with failure. And that's what you're talking about. So it's really... It's super cool because it's high stakes. You know, you're talking to somebody about your bankruptcy, but then in the same day, you're talking to other people who want to put you in business and give you $1 million for a salon, right? So it's awesome.
I'll tell you something, Rico. What else is important is you're also talking about the, you know, the barbershops and the small time hair salons, which, you know, probably do more hair than the larger salons because it's affordable and people have to get their hair cut, if you know what I mean, because it constantly grows. And it's not all chocolate and strawberries out there. It's a grind, whether you are, you know, if your family puts you in business or the banks put you in business or your partners and you associate together to put yourself in business. Our industry is fantastic. Once again, I just got the chills again, just thinking about how fantastic our industry really is and how well-rounded it is and how we all unite together, especially in you know, like Long Beach, New York, Chicago, Midwest, all these big conventions that we have. And, you know, those haven't been around for a while. I miss them tremendously. And I know the hairdressers do. But it's so nice to hear you talk about your wife, Alan, especially how she joined into your business, because I'm in a family business myself. And people out there just want to hear that kind of story.
Lisa was she taught dance. So what connected us too was our dancing together, because we were both kind of Lindy Hop dancers. Do you know what that is?
Swing.
Swing dancing, yeah. So, and we both connected dance-wise, and we opened up an exercise studio together called Alan Edwards Body Heat. And so, and I got her on the Regis show, and she did a lot of TV stuff because she really looks like Cher then at that period. She had the body, the hair, the curly hair. She was Cher. It was really interesting. And then Paul and I split up. And a good lesson to learn from Paul and I was for hairdressers who ever want to have partners, is like, how can I put it? When like if you and I are partners, we open a salon, you keep what you make, I keep what I make, we split the profit and we split the loss. Yeah. That's how it works. Well, Paul, after 25 years, decides he doesn't want to do hair anymore. Right. So I don't want to put Paul down or say anything negative, but it didn't work out, I might say. Right. We could talk later about it, but it didn't work out for us doing that. And then when we split up, Paul was running the doing hair and doing the office, you know, he ran the office with his aunt in there. Mm-hmm. And now Paul's gone. So Lisa, I came there, I go, you have to take over the business side of it. And she just walked right in. Lisa's very smart. She's like school smart. where, and she's creative at the same time, but she is very precise, amazing keeping records, amazing running business. So she took over the office, had four people working for her. We were one of the only salons, and Lisa and I put together a 401k package for our hairdressers and insurance for our hairdressers.
Wow. Yeah.
And we ran that all through the office. And, you know, and we had three spas then, and we had the four salons then, you know, just kept growing. I actually owned a salon in Tokyo for 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a license of my name. And that was another phenomenal experience.
Did you cut there sometimes?
But yeah, I used to go every year and I used to teach there. And I used to visit the salons and I would do TV there. I would be on all the talk shows. And I was hired. Another amazing thing, it shows that being a hairdresser, if you put yourself out there, you could accomplish anything. I also did a TV commercial in Australia for 4 years for a company called Sunsilk, where I was the star of the commercial. And I would speak, I would do the commercial. And that was an amazing thing to do. No matter what you do, and people see it today, they could go on YouTube channel, they could be Facebook, they could do, you know, Instagram, they could TikTok, all these things could get you out there. And people can't be afraid to do great hair and tell people about it and show people their work. I think the days of celebrity hairdressers like me and Jose, Christoph are gone.
So we promised our listeners that the three of us are going to do something amazing in January. Is that correct?
Okay, I'm in, whatever you want to do.
Then we're going to put it on YouTube and we're going to excite the hairdressers. We're going to make them feel like they've never felt before. Because that's our job as mentors, is to make these all the hairdressers feel fantastic.
Yeah, no, I'm all for it. You know, my salon, it would be perfect because all the stations in the middle all roll away.
Beautiful. That's a done deal. And then, you know what, you get your models, I'll get my models, take the stress off each other. We're going to meet up. Rico's going to interview us. Okay. And you and I are going to bust the fucking walls down. Well, who's bringing the DJ, by the way?
Oh, I've got a good sound system in there. Yeah, no, that would be great. No, it's good. This would be, I've always wanted, look at, I've known, but it's funny, I've never seen your show, but I've seen parts of your show. And I know, I'm looking at it going, they're doing what I do. God damn it.
Yeah. Well,
and they even use the same goddamn song. I can't believe it.
Let's do this, guys. Okay, first of all, thanks for your energy and your time.
Thanks for all your contributions to the industry, Alan.
Oh, thank I you really for appreciate that, that. Thank you.
You know who Nicholas French is? Obviously.
I did,
one of the most Naha amazing hairdressers on the planet. I was talking to him on the phone for just 1 second today because I work with him with Matrix. I told him that we were doing a podcast with you. He wanted me to say hi to you, and he loves the way that you've been in the industry and you've just been an icon in it. So
I'll tell him thank you.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I just do my thing. That's all. Just go to work.
Well, you do your thing and you do it well and you do it hard. You give it everything you got. And I'm super proud of you. So thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, text me your address and I'll send you that book.
We'll send you some product.
Okay. Oh, for sure. Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Alan, January, you and I going down.
Okay.
That's it. Goodbye.
We will rock you.
Wow. Bye, boys.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to the Art of Hair podcast with the Altieri Brothers. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For full show notes, full transcripts, and resources to help you become the best, visit us at
AltieriTheArtOfHair.com. And you can also find us on Instagram at AltieriTheArtOfHair.